Okay.
We're doing an Extraordinary Mama Spotlight and meet Rebecca. This is one fierce, extraordinary mama, and here's her story.
This podcast is sponsored by A2D, Addicted to Dance Company. Check us out on the web, a2dance.com. We're growing foundation, giving back to our community, and changing lives is our mission.
Let me introduce Rebecca. Rebecca and I have known each other for 9 years. She is one of my bestest mom friends. We have always just gotten each other, kind of like that unspoken, we can like talk without saying anything. You know, you have that friend where you just like shoot a look and you're like, yeah, I totally get it. She's that friend. And Rebecca, to me, is one heck of a fierce mama. She has three kids. Her middle child is her daughter, Morgan. And Morgan has some disabilities that are challenging. And I thought it would be super cool after Teresa and I just had our podcast about how we deal with disabilities, Teresa's mast cell disease, Ava's primary immune deficiency disease. It would be great to bring in a conversation about your dynamic, Rebecca, and what your daily day-to-day looks like and what your struggles and your trials and triumphs have been as being a mom of three that has a hard kid.
Well, I made it to our doctor's appointment this morning at 7:45, which was quite a feat. So
that
that's
is
my
a feat. 7:45 a.m. appointment, freedom. Having three kids. Yeah, that's a big thing in and of itself for anybody.
I feel like I did a marathon already. So, my Morgie, she's amazing, but she's my little Sour Patch Kid. She's sweet and sassy and all the things.
All right. So my Morgs has something called Sturge-Weber. So she'll have maybe 2 to 10 seizures a month that leave her with all sorts of, different issues. So she's on the spectrum. She's been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. So she has trouble focusing. She's ADHD. She's got all the letters, you know? But mostly she has a lot of mood swings, and it's hard for her to behave and listen and focus at school and make friends and, you know, just do all the stuff she needs to do to be a regular 11-year-old. And she's always with me. So there wasn't drop her off at dance. I think that's why we're such good friends, because I would sit there and dance like the whole time she danced. And if she wanted to go riding, I was there with her next to her, like swim lessons. I'm in the pool with her. We've always been together. So she can't be a regular independent 11-year-old. So that's really complicated. There's never a time where I'm not with her, except at school. So that's really hard. Like, her going to school is my time off.
Yeah.
What was it like getting her started going to school too? I mean, was she having seizures like when she was like just school, like getting to be school age too?
Yeah. So the pricklies go up my neck every time the phone rings when she's away, obviously, but she rebounds quick. So I guess when I think about her seizures, I don't think they're that bad because it's our normal. Mm. Like, it's just what we're used to. Mm-hmm. So when the nurse calls and says, hey, she had a seizure, and I'll say, how is she? Does she want to come home, or is she good to go? And, you know, 8 out of 10 times she's good to go. So she'll just carry on with the day, because we've just always done that since she was really little. She had her first seizure at 6 months. So all she knows is, oh, this is just a bump in my day. I get up and I keep going, which is, you know, great resilience to teach a child. And I feel like her brothers have learned that as well, because they've just seen that. Like, the whole world falls apart for 3 minutes, but we just get up and keep going when it's done. There's no fallout.
Recently, Morgan has gotten a service dog. Can you tell us about that journey? Because I know this journey started a number of years ago.
It did. So Morgan had a seizure while she was at camp. And that is the phone call that keeps me up at night. She had a seizure in a pool and she drowned. She spent 5 days in CHOP on a ventilator. She was airlifted there and they did an amazing job and she made a 100% recovery.
Oh my.
So we're just so grateful that we still have her with us. So after that, we decided we would do our research on a seizure detection dog to see if we could get sort of a heads up, like, hey, a seizure might be coming today, because maybe I wouldn't have sent her. You know, you second guess yourself as a mom all the time. You're like, maybe I wouldn't have sent her to school today if the dog had barked or told me something was coming. Or maybe I would have told them to keep her out of the pool to be on the lookout for something. So we decided soon after we recovered from all of that, that we would start our journey with a service dog with Four Paws for Ability, which was a very reputable company within the epilepsy community. So we did our fundraising and we were fortunate enough that our community is so loving and they followed Morgan's story with her drowning and everyone was so supportive that we raised the money on a Facebook fundraiser in 2 weeks. We raised over $18,000 in 2 weeks.
Wow.
So awesome. Then started our amazing journey of waiting. waiting. The wait is 2 years for a service dog. But then we had the pandemic. So we waited a little longer. But in September, we took 2 weeks. We went out to Ohio and we met our service dog, who is Marimba. Come here, girl. Come here. Marimba, come. I just gave her peanut butter bone. She does not want to come.
Come on, Marimba. We want to meet you.
Come here. Come here. Oh, she took the other one. Come here. Here's Aww. Our girl.
Hi, pretty so girl.
She is a beautiful golden lab. She is a tracking dog. So if Morgan runs away, she can sniff and find her. She is supposed to be able to detect Morgan's seizures, but right now we're working on alerting. So when Morgan does have a seizure, Marimba is to bark repeatedly until someone comes. And that we're having a lot of success with. Yay. We were a little naive about the process. We thought we were getting this ready-made custom dog. Like it was just gonna save our lives, you know, like Lassie, like if Timmy's stuck in the well, you know, Lassie's going to save him. This is not true. She is a dog. So there's a lot of work to be done, further training to kind of customize her to us. And, you know, I was really frustrated when I first got home because it wasn't going as planned, but we've kind of like pumped the brakes a little bit on the training and we're just falling in love with her because I think once we all just bond, the rest will fall into line. She will be our angel dog that we wished for and we waited for. And, you know, she certainly fits into our family really nicely.
That's wonderful.
So that is our journey with our service dog. And it's a journey in the making. It's not done yet. The wait is done, but now the work is in progress.
So the organization that you worked with, what's it called that you got the dog through?
Four Paws for Ability. So they place service dogs with, they do medical alert dogs, so seizure alert dogs, diabetic alert dogs. They place mobility dogs, so people that have had strokes, there'll be a balanced dog. They're mostly known for their autism support dogs. So Marimba is also, if Morgan were to have a meltdown, she doesn't have a lot of them anymore, but they're taught to be calming and keep the child safe. So if she was running around the room or whatever, we would try and sit Morgan down and the dog would actually lay on her to try and calm her, give some pressure and keep her calm. So she is trained to do that as well. They also place dogs with vets with post-traumatic stress disorder, but they predominantly work with children.
So they train the dog to do all of these really advanced things medically to help out families, But like the regular dog stuff, that's the stuff that they haven't done. Like, what are you guys trying to do?
She gets it.
Yeah.
She's still a dog. So she chooses on whether or not she, you know, she just met us. So she's 18 months old. She's been with a puppy raising family, a foster family, and her advanced trainers. So I guess, I mean, you take any dog away from their people and they're going to be a little, hey, I don't know you. I'm not going to listen. So we deal with a little bit of that, but not in a belligerent way. She's a sweet, sweet dog. You know, she needs to learn that these are our expectations of her. And she has to fall in line. So she is really good. When we put that vest on her, something does change in her. Where if I pick up that red vest and we say, we're going to go get your girl, she just like, she kind of shakes off the puppy and
she goes into like work mode. That's adorable. So is she able to go to like Morgan's doctor's appointments and things like that yet?
Yes. So she's amazing in the grocery store. She's amazing at doctor's appointments. I recently took her to the dentist with me and she laid on my lap because Morgan has to get a filling done and we haven't ever successfully been able to do that. So we're hoping this time with Marimba's help, we'll be able to get through the Novocaine and the drilling and that sort of stuff. But she did amazing. But she's not ready to be handled by somebody else and go to school with Morgan. And because of Morgan's autism, she can't be a primary handler. So
is that something that you want to do? Do you want to have her go to school with Morgan?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ideally, we sort of wanted the dog to come into our world around this time. So the dog would be like 10 years is a good working life for a service dog. So she's 11 now. I mean, that would get her to 21. You know, and she can go to school till she's 21, you know, under these laws for special education. So if it doesn't happen for middle school, I would love it to happen for her to have Marimba at high school, you know, because I mean, think about these kids. I mean, Morgan's going to be childlike for a long time, you know, she needs a best friend beside her and someone looking out for her. And I just feel like that's what Marimba's going to be. She's going to be her protector, her best friend.
That's sweet.
We'll work as hard as we need to get her there.
Now, how can I ask you, how is the family dynamic with this new service dog, with Morgan, with Hayden, with Luke, with your husband?
Bad, right? Because we had to rehome our lab of 6 years. When we moved as well, we moved to a bigger home because we knew we were going to need more room because we potentially were going to have three dogs. But Piper developed some dog aggression and we just couldn't risk her. So we had to rehome her. We were lucky enough to go through a local rescue here that they specialize in labs and I found her the home, but we did it through the rescue. And they live over in Maple Glen and we can still visit her. So it was the best solution to a really bad situation.
Yeah.
And I still get to take the boys to visit her. But because of that, I think we had a really hard time, not just me and the boys bonding with Marimba because we wanted our Piper back. Like we wanted our baby. But we love her. She's weaseled her way into our hearts. And we still have Piper in our life, but I mean, that was hard. We made a lot of sacrifices to make this happen. I was worried about my oldest. He's 13. I gave away his dog. I mean, there's no way. I mean, that's the long and short of it is someday when he goes to his therapist and he's 30, he's going to say, my mom gave away my dog. That's why I am the way I am. But I hope that the lesson that he learned is that we make sacrifices for family and it's going to be okay. And we'll work together to find the best solutions. You know,
he'll see the growth along the way as Marimba connects more and more with your family, right? And engages and all these things you have planned down the line, you know, there's growth and change as hard as it is.
There is. And we're not allowed to add another pet to our household for a year. But depending on how her progress goes, I mean, if things settle down, Hayden can get another dog. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
That'd be sweet. Yeah. So wow. Rebecca, so harvesting you, it's about finding mama joy and learning to, you know, live big, but love even bigger. And I mean, I know you and I know how humongous your heart is and how compassionate you are as a person. But can you share with those watching, what do you do to fill your bucket, your Rebecca McDonald bucket?
Well, I used to be really good at carving time out for myself before the pandemic. But I think all of us, when the pandemic hit, moms went into the every job mode, right? We did everything. So I really, I lost that time, and it's so hard to get it back once you reallocate that time that you had for yourself. Sorry, the dogs are really fighting now. So, you know, finding time to work out, finding time to do all those things, it's really important. I'm terrible at it. I feel like when the kids aren't here, I'm always doing things to get ready for when they're going to be back here, like to be one step ahead. But if you ask my kids, they'll tell you I'm the most unorganized person and all I do is yell. And it's partially true. But I'm really trying. I think it is important, and to know that it's on the priority list. I'm not good at it. You know, Aubrey and I used to go ride, and then we lost that time.
That was special. That was like once a week, we would just go ride horses. Yeah. And it was great.
And we used to do coffee dates, and then, you know, that's not possible so much anymore. And I think momming through the pandemic has thrown us all for a loop. There's just no getting back to normal. You know, some people use the time to organize their homes and better a certain area that they thought they were having shortcomings. I feel like I was just putting band-aids on everything.
Yeah. I have to ask too, I mean, I'm impressed by all of what you're sharing with us, because what you go through on a day-to-day basis, what your normal is extraordinary for many, 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 many people out there. And you mentioned that your daughter drowned as another thing that happened, and what an event that is, and getting a service dog and all the work that you've gone into it, and keeping your house and keeping your other kids, like having a normal and putting them first. It sounds like you're putting them first all the time. And even with the pandemic, I mean, that's a lot. I'm curious what you did before the pandemic to carve out time when it was like sort of normal-ish in your world. What did you do that maybe is like we can learn from as when
I had my time before the kids got up? I had a 5 a.m. workout group that I went to 5 days a week, and I had my, you know, my physical fitness village. So I was already up, worked out, had coffee before I even woke the kids. So my time was before their time started.
So wow. 5 a.m., that was your time. You carved out that time. And then did that feel like, okay, I got all my anxious energy out. Now I can go ahead with be mom.
Yeah, there was a piece. There was a piece with getting the workout done, getting your movement in, and having like-minded people in my world.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's really important.
Yeah, finding other people that can understand what you're going through. I think that's probably one of the most important things that I've found in my experiences is even not to just try to like help me or try to understand me, but like just so that we can, oh yeah, I know, I get it. That kind of support.
That was really my favorite part of going to get the service dog. We were in a class of 11 people, And they all had children like Morgan. Some of them more severe, but we would sit around and maybe we would have a glass of wine at the hotel, like, cause we all stayed in hotels and stuff. Or we would meet for dinner, but nobody had to apologize for the behavior of their children.
Mm.
Like, it was just, yep, that's the way it is. You guys get it. Like, I think everybody said it a million times. Like, it's so nice to be around people that just get it. Like, there's no apologizing for the behavior or what the child said because it was inappropriate, because they know they don't really have control over it. Whereas Morgan looks totally normal. So when I'm with other people, I feel like they look at me like I'm a bad parent because she's doing this, because they don't understand. They don't have the backstory. You know, she doesn't look disabled. She looks totally normal. So why doesn't she act normal?
Hmm.
And I find myself apologizing for it all the time. And the boys get embarrassed. And, you know, I miss going to basketball games for my son because he doesn't want her there. So there is that. There's not always happiness and acceptance. There's, you know, there's the struggles where, you know, the boys don't want a special needs sister. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to play with her. They just want, you know, they want to be normal. So there is that. And we struggle with that. So I'll hang back with Morgan a lot, but I feel like, you know, then I missed moments of them growing up. So.
Well, so Luke and Hayden, I hear a lot of that anxiety in you, but Luke and Hayden are also learning from a completely different experience with their sister that I think will humble them and they will appreciate the older they get. I mean, right now they're boys and they're little, and, you know, Teresa and I were just talking about how irresponsible our teenagers are.
Yes.
And that just comes with being a teenager. But at the same time, Rebecca, I know from past seizures that Hayden would be like your right-hand man.
He does. He jumps right to attention. And I know he's being raised right. And I know he has that gift of compassion and empathy for her. But he's also a teenager and he wants to be normal. But I know he gets it because, like we were talking about the bullying, he stood up for that boy that was being bullied because he knows it's not right to say the words that were being said. And he knows someday it might be said about Morgan, and I know that he'll stand up for her.
Mm.
Absolutely, 100%.
You know? So you got to know you're doing a fantastic job, and your family is thriving. All this stuff you're going through, like, mama's out there listening. Everybody's got stuff, right? And some people have bigger stuff than others, and you've got some big stuff, and look at you. And by the way, side note, Rebecca works. She's a nurse.
I'm a nurse.
On top of all this, she still has a job.
I was working part-time before the pandemic. Now I'm working just per diem, but still, it's a lot to manage everything that goes with a job. And I started a new job with the school district. So I'm working per diem for an agency as well.
So I mean, you're killing it, girl.
Yeah, I'm juggling. I don't know if I'm killing it, but I'm juggling for sure.
Even that, like, being able to take your other kids, like having them be able to do activities too. Like that's a whole nother layer of, you know, carting kids around, taking them to stuff, signing them up, making sure they're there. Like, you know, do you have your uniform ready? Is it clean? Like, there's a lot of details that go involved in like any activity that our kids do. And you're doing that, you know,
little like secret, you're able though, to. I'll reel now because I always text her. Did I miss the signups for whatever?
But you know what? You have a tribe and you have a village, but you also have a smaller tribe that you know you can count on and call and say, can you pick up X? Because I can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's great that you lean on those people in your life and that you're able to not feel like you can't do, like you can't call on people. That's motherhood. We need to be
I've
able to.
I've gotten a lot better at asking for help. I mean, I'm still not great at it, but I've got a lot better at saying, uncle, I can't do this alone. I need help.
Now, was there like a point like that was like a tipping point for you into like, yes, I do need help. Like, I should ask my friends. I should ask for this little favor here or there. Was there a moment where you're like, yes, I will do it?
I think, well, I have a couple of really close friends and they know when I disappear from the face of the earth, they better call me because I'm sinking. I'm a sinking ship. And they'll call me and they'll be like, what can I do? Or they just show up with a casserole and, you know, tell me to sit down. Yeah, I have a certain MO when I start drowning in my stuff here. But for the most part, I try and give myself grace anymore. There's not enough hours in the day to do all the things a mom has to do and all the things a mom and that person that is mom wants to do. So I write the lists. Some things on the list get done, some things don't, and then they go on the list the next day. And the working out has to happen, but I'm giving myself grace. You know, if I can get on my bike twice a week, then I think I'm doing pretty good. And hopefully that, you know, that goal will get expanded on. But for now, that's what I can give myself. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from this conversation is that you can only do what you can do. And some days you can do more than others. So you have to give yourself grace and just wake up the next day and tackle the list.
I love that.
And I write everything out, like fold the wash. There's three loads. That counts as three things, you know. You got three things done.
And you know what else? Writing it out gets it out of your head. So it's not like you have all this mumble jumble. It's like, I have a list, you know?
Yeah. You know, the mom list. The mom list is on constant cycle. Yeah. As you're running around and putting the stuff in the dishwasher, you're like, okay, what's next? What's next? What are the next five things I need to do? The other thing I do every day is I make the beds before we leave the house. Sometimes we're late to go places because I make the beds. Because I read that book, Make Your Bed or whatever, by the Marine.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one point that my takeaway from that book was, if you made your bed, that's the one thing that you did today. Your day can't get any worse. You made your bed, you're good. You got something accomplished today. So.
And that makes you feel good. Cause then you walk back in your house and you see them made and you're like, okay. Right. It's a win.
Right.
No, I think making a bed is really important. At least pulling up the sheets and covers and making all the beds look nice. Cause I haven't read that book, which I should read that book. But there's something about like being ready, being prepared. Like, and then when you come home or go back into the room, you're like, yes, like, you know, like I did this for like to make myself feel like ready, complete. And there's a lot of things about it that makes me happy to have things put away and, you know, like not OCD, but just organized enough. Things are sort of where they need to be.
Pillows there.
Yeah.
Teresa, I will unannounced show up at Rebecca's house, and her house is always in order.
Don't open a closet or a drawer, but.
But it's always in order.
But I need flat surfaces cleared because otherwise that's what's happening in my head. If the glass is covered, that's what's happening in my head. And it's not good for anybody.
It's so true. Your environment is a reflection of how you're feeling and stress. Like if there's a lot of clutter, like it's a reflection of all that like entanglement in your brain or my brain of like all the stuff that I have to do. And it's overwhelming to have things rattling around in your brain, not writing it down and having things everywhere I do not like stuff like plopped on all the surfaces. I hate that.
It makes me crazy.
My husband does that. If there's a surface in the house that's clean, he will fill it with stuff like such a hurry.
Are you looking for a new career? Would you like to take control of your time and also your income? Check us out at cardwelllife.com. That is www.cardwellife.com. Inquire today.
It was a good chat.
It is a good chat. I'm really impressed with you. And I'm so glad that Aubrey brought you, Rebecca, into our lives and shared your story, because I know that you have things that you're trying to work on and everything, but from where I'm sitting and looking at your story and where you are and what you do every day, I mean, applause, applause, applause. You are a shining example of what a mama can be and can do. Like, you just have to, you've worked hard to support your family and support all the different things that they need in their lives. And that takes a lot of patience, insight, effort, like, and grace to let yourself, like, be okay with when things aren't going exactly the way you would love them to go. So I am honored to have this conversation with you.
Well, thank you so much.
Your family is thriving. You are thriving. One day at a time.
One day at a time. There's always room for growth.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So thank you for joining us, Rebecca.
All right. Bye. The dogs are here. I was going to have them say bye. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. We would love to hear from you. Share your thoughts, questions, and ideas with us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Harvesting You, or visit our website, harvestingyou.com. Until next time, let's put today's inspiration into intentional action and keep harvesting you.